The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Hey, hey, welcome to another edition of Mission Minded. We're keeping your mind, your mission, your mind. It's Michael Coleman, the executive director of the Jimmy Hale Mission. It's his show, and he joins us every single week here on Tony Curry Radio. And, of course, if you missed any of our shows, you can go to our Spotify platform or podcast, where we have well over 100 shows up there, and listen to any of the previous Mission Minded shows we've done right here with Michael Coleman. Michael, how are you, man? What's going on at the Jimmy Hale Mission? You doing well?
Yeah, doing fantastic. Get the privilege of helping people change their lives, and that's it's my passion. And nonprofit work and helping people is also a passion of mine. And so this is just part of that. So I'm thrilled to death to be here.
Can I ask a question? Because I know before the Jimmy Hale Mission, you also ran a non-for-profit. When did you start working in non-for-profit businesses, and were you called to it, or was it a situation where you had some trauma in your life, or how exactly did you get involved in that?
Yeah, so I spent 21 years in the military, retired there, and went into some pastoral work, and found, you know, from a faith-based perspective, I felt like I was being led into ministry, into serving others, and I thought at the time that that was, you know, kind of a preaching, teaching, working in church environments, and actually did not, and that was not a good fit for me at all. And so I still felt like, man, God's really leading me to affect people's lives. And so what does that look like if it's not in this environment? And so it connected me to a nonprofit. And even though my very first nonprofit experience did not go well in terms of the nonprofit that I was working with, it taught me so much about the nonprofit world. And then it led me to then say, hey, I really believe in this type work. I'm committed to, at the time, people who had barriers of climbing out of poverty, and I just wanted to invest my life into that work and had a specific vision of how to do that. And so then that's what led me to start my own nonprofit. And that's why as a matter of fact, I just got off an hour-long conversation with somebody asking me to come talk about that because there's a lot of value in somebody having to start something from the very beginning because I made so many mistakes along the way because I was just figuring it out. I mean, and even with the internet, you can find things out, but what you really need, what I really needed was somebody who could sit down and just have some regular conversations, help me navigate that space. And so I made a commitment that, you know, once I made it through all that, that if I could ever sit down and help other people, you know, not make the same mistakes or answer some of those questions and talk to people in, you know, just common sense language. Lots of times you can read these things. They're overly intellectual. You read government regulations. They can be very difficult to understand. Yeah, here's what it says. How does that apply? And I just said, I just wanted to, part of my ministry was what we're doing now, which is reaching back out and just saying, if anybody's struggling with these issues and has questions, I just kind of want to help throw something out there that might help them navigate the space that they're in.
That's a great story. And it's really interesting too, because you know, we started Mission Minded here. We started, 2-3 months ago. And one of the reasons I thought it'd be a great idea, and you too, there's 1.5 million non-for-profits, and that's just not just Jimmy Hale Missions, but that's the governmental agencies and all kinds of different things. And that's an increase of about 200,000 non-for-profits just in the last couple of years. And it's easy to make, obviously, the jump from, hey, listen, we just went through a 2-year pandemic. We've been shut down. People had to think outside the box. We know 60% of people that don't have their jobs anymore quit voluntarily. We have the mass resignation. So say for people that feel like, and I've had this, you know, I haven't been to the mountaintop and asked the man, what's the meaning of life yet? But there have been a lot of people saying, what is my bigger purpose in this world? We know we're here to love each other and help each other. What's my bigger purpose? For people who don't necessarily want to start a non-for-profit or start a business out of it, but they want to do more for their community, what would you say is the best route to go?
So I think what because everybody's different, and usually what leads people, I've seen more often than not, what leads them to invest in a certain work is how they've been particularly affected in life. So, for instance, if you've had struggle with people with blindness, you may want to get involved in an organization that fights against blindness. If you've had a child that was autistic, hey, you might want to get involved in organizations that are devoted to overcoming that condition. Cancer, health issues. It could be, now I'm in the addiction world, addiction recovery world, and I cannot begin to tell you the number of people that have reached out and said, oh, you know, if it weren't for Jimmy Hill and the services they provided, my brother, sister, father, uncle would have never come out of addiction, and they'd still be homeless. And so typically what you see is people, how things have, how their life has gone and things that they've encountered, that's how they typically become passionate about things. Now, some people, like we're in the South here in Alabama, so a lot, you know, going to church and being involved in the church is the common thing. That's not the same all over the United States, as we know. But here, there's a lot of people that go to church and they'll hear sermons about Jesus and the idea of, as a believer, that you're here to give of yourself to other people, to give of your means, to give of your time, to give resources, whatever that looks like. And so here it's very common for people to turn, okay, well, you know, I give time at church, but what organizations are out there that I can get involved in that appeal to me, that I really feel like are effective? And so they aren't necessarily drawn to us because they've encountered addiction issues in their family. What then those people are looking at is, okay, I want to get involved in something that's making a true difference. I want to get involved in an organization that I can trust, that if I pull back the curtain, I would not be shocked at what I saw. And that's how you get you. So that's why I've said in past episodes, I continue to say it, why it's so important to be an organization that's transparent as possible. Transparency builds confidence in those that are financially supporting you, those that are volunteering for you, those who are advocating for you. They have to know that what you're saying to the public is what you're doing behind the scenes each and every day. And so those are kind of the main ways that I've seen people come along and get involved in the nonprofit world.
And we'll get into a topic here in a second, but I think this is super amazing, because I don't think what people realize about the Jimmy Hill mission is, you know, you give warm meals, you do ministry, there's a spiritual basis there, there's a physical, a mental, a motivational, all those things. But when you're talking about someone who needs a place to sleep and something to eat, you have to uncover that. Jimmy Hill Mission is not a Band-Aid. You have to figure out, okay, why are you in this situation? And the majority of the people that are in that situation are because of some addictive properties, right?
Yeah, so, and that's what we have a very difficult time. When somebody walks into our gate, here's what we do know. They're here because they don't have anybody else to go to.
Yeah.
We just know
yeah.
that, because if they would have had family that would have taken them in or friends to take them in, that's where they would be. They're at Jimmy Hill Mission because they have nowhere else to go. Now, when they come to us, what we have to, through our intake processes, we have to really ask them, look, are you ready for something else? Because if you are ready to leave addiction behind, leave the streets behind, leave that life behind, then, hey, this is the place for you, because we don't care what your burdens are. We don't care what your issues are. Hey, your problems are now our problems. And I feel like that's a very faith-based approach, you know, right from scripture, Galatians 6:2. Hey, if you want to fulfill the law of Christ, you share one another's burdens. And So that's what we tell them. Hey, your burdens are now our burdens. We're going to walk this out with you, and we're going to take this heavy load and then teach you how to navigate through that and give you the resources that are necessary to be successful. Where we have to draw the line is, and this is because, you know, our goal is for them to pursue health and the five areas that you've mostly mentioned. Some people, there's lots of reasons why somebody doesn't want to come off the streets. And they say, look, I just want a bed. I just want a meal. I'm really not interested in a program. I'm really not interested in changing my life. You know, I'll leave every morning. I'll go back out on the streets. I just want to come back in and have somewhere safe to be. And so we tell them, listen, we believe you were created for something so much more than this. We want to be invested in you, but the one thing I can't give you is the want to. And if you don't have the want to, if you're not willing to go through changes, then I can't bring you into an environment that we are helping people change their lives when you are insistent on remaining stagnant. That's not the culture that we are displaying here. And so just understand, so you can't be here, but understand whenever it is down the road that when you are ready, this is the place. We will welcome you with open arms. When you're ready to make changes to your life, we're here to take you wherever you are, no questions asked.
He is Michael Coleman, the executive director of the Jimmy Helm Mission. This is a show called Mission Minded. It's about non-for-profits, everything from how to start it. We've been through mission statements and everything else. We talked about the money aspect of it last week. And, of course, you can certainly go to TonyCurryRadio.net, become a bonehead, and you can give us your email questions, and we'll read those here as they come in here for Mission Minded. I do want to get into the non-for-profit standpoint from a business standpoint, and this is kind of interesting. I got a friend of mine who was in a radio station, of all things, that was a non-for-profit and loved working for it. And when I was starting Tony Curry Radio, he was like, you know, it would be a certain beautiful thing to have a non-for-profit station and a for-profit station because they could work together. And then, you know, I continuously watch television and I see that Jersey Mike's is doing a day of giving where all of their proceeds on a particular day are going to you know, a particular need. In this particular case, it's Special Olympics. You see a lot of organizations that will bring in whatever non-for-profit it is, and then 10% of their proceeds for that day will go to this. And it's a beautiful thing. And so I'm trying to think to myself, and I've talked to him several times about starting, because when I started my radio station, I thought maybe I should make it a non-for-profit where I'm actually profitable, but I'm also giving back to the community, which I've tried to do that through my programming. What is the best way to go about that? Because I know there's some people that want to start businesses, but they also want to give back to the community. Is it better to have a for-profit business and give your money away, or is it better to start a non-for-profit and live that way? Or is there a right answer there?
Yeah. So that is, it depends. All right. So Let me tell you the challenge that some people who have a great idea that said, oh, I could do this through a not-for-profit funnel, if you will, or just organize my business in a not-for-profit way. Here's what most people would not pursue a work to make their living this way is because if you, let's say you have a dynamic idea that's going to help, that's going to have a social benefit, that's going to help the world, or help your community, let's say, and you shaped it as a not-for-profit, what you in essence are doing, have to do, is give up control, because you might be the director of that, but every nonprofit legally has to be governed by a board of directors. And I have, while you legally can also be on a board of directors, but you see that typically more on foundations. So let's say you have a family foundation. And let's say it's the Smith Foundation. I'll just make that up. Mm-hmm. And so you want everybody who's on the board to be in the Smith family. Okay, that's fine. You only have to have legally 3 board members for a nonprofit. So that's typically, hey, you want to keep all that's your family foundation. You only want family board members. That makes perfect sense. That's the exception. That's what, if you already got a big pile of money and you're just looking at how to distribute that in the right way. So that's the exception rather than the norm. But if I had an idea and I was like, hey, I really want to do this and I could make my living off of it, but I'll, you know, for profit, but also benefit the community. Mm-hmm. And so I had that decision, which way do I want to go? I would choose for profit because, like I said, you have to give up control. You cannot, in the nonprofit world, you cannot take profits for yourself. You have to work on a salary. Everybody who's on that has to work. Works for a salary. Well, that's the important rule about nonprofit, because whatever you were to make, all that money has to go back into the work of the nonprofit, and all of that is controlled by a governing board of directors. So in essence, you've given up absolute control that most business owners really like. Yeah. and value. So what I found the best way is, if you're a business owner, you can do this a couple ways. One is, you can do things, and we've seen, like a restaurant, like you mentioned with Jersey Mike. So it could be a chain, or it could be just a single restaurant, or it could be a single business entity that just says, hey, I'm passionate about this. I feel like as a business, I need to give back to my community. I'm going to give to support the Jimmy Helm Mission for the work that they're doing. That's the norm. And then that way, whatever they choose to donate is a tax write-off. I will give you something else that that businesses do that I think is incredibly helpful. So we had a we have three dormitories at three different locations that have to be monitored 24/7 because laws regulate that. Mm-hmm. And so they have to be monitored. They have to have sprinkler systems. They have to have fire control alarms, smoke alarm, all those kind of things. And those things have to be monitored. They have to be inspected. They have to be upkept and all those things. So when I got Jimmy Hill Mission, I recognized, hey, we're paying over $20,000 a year. And those are things you don't even think about.
Yeah.
That are just maintenance and upkeep and inspections each and every year. Well, I had an owner of an alarm company who came to me who does monitoring and all that. And he says, hey, you don't know me. And he gave me his name. He said, I really care about the mission. And so I'm willing to do all your monitoring and all that at no cost to you.
Wow.
So it fit within his business model that he could give us that service. Now, the advantage for him as a business owner is that that's what he would have. Let's say he would have charged us $20,000 and he says, hey, I'm just going to give you that for free as a donation. Mm-hmm. Well, then he gets to write those services off, you know, whatever the actual cost of that is. So let's say it was $20,000. He then does the work and can write off that as a donation to the mission. And so that's completely legitimate because he in essence is in essence giving us $20,000, but just for a specific thing. So there's all sorts of different ways that businesses can get involved in nonprofit work and support them. It's not always just write the check. If you want to, you can focus on specific aspects of a program, and that's where you get into what we call earmarks. And of course, you hear that a lot with legislation, like people throw in all this money earmarked for a specific thing. So when government passes a law or a budget bill, you know, it says, hey, we're giving $10 billion, like recently for Ukraine. Okay, $10 billion. Well, they can't take that money and put it anywhere else because in the bill it was written, it was earmarked. Well, as a nonprofit, you get that lots of times. Like we get people who say, hey, I want to give you $10,000, but I only want it to go to the women and children's shelter.
Yeah.
And so we have to guide it and make sure that money is assigned to those functions. So you don't have to think, well, I don't want to just give them money because then I don't get any say in where it's spent. You can sit down with a nonprofit that you care about. You can ask the tough questions and you can earmark your donation if that's how you so choose to do it. So there's lots of different options as to how to go about making that impact.
And I think what you've said in the past, he's Michael Coleman, executive director of the Jimmy Hill Mission. Of course, the show called Mission Minded. You can hear it every single Wednesday right here live on Tony Curry Radio. If you miss any of the episodes, and they're fantastic, go to Spotify and search Tony Curry Radio. That's Curry with a K. And you can listen to all of our past episodes, not to mention Blues Almighty, The Damon Johnson Show, Dr. Rab's Dark Side of the Pooch. We go on and on and on. They're great shows. Mission Minded here on Tony Curry Radio. You've even mentioned that several times people have come to you and said, listen, I have X amount of dollars. If I give it to you, what are you going to do with it? And what do you usually say?
Yeah. So and this is my approach. It's not right or wrong. It's just where I am. I sit down and talk to them let me back up just for a second.
Sure.
Yeah. So I had four thoughts that jumped in my mind all at the same time. So when somebody comes to me and says, Michael, I really want to make an impactful gift, I think it's incumbent upon me to then sit down with them and hear their story. And as I listen to their story and what, you know, I want to know what's led them to make this impactful gift. So I'll give you an example. Let's say, and this has happened before, somebody says, hey, my mother died. She has left me her estate. It's a lot of money. And I want to, I love the Jimmy Hill Mission and I want to make an impactful gift. So then I try to sit down and say, tell me about your mom. Tell me about what she was passionate about. And it may be, you know what, my mom always She was real. Education was her really big thing. She was real, real passionate about that, and always supported educational endeavors. So, if that were the case, then I would say in my mind, okay, what are we doing from an educational perspective? Mm-hmm. Where are we in that, and what would be the next step? Yeah, specifically educational wise, it may be, hey, we need all new computers in our learning lab. It might be, hey, we need to hire somebody to come in to help tutor, you know, so you have to think specifically. And so then I would come back with a list of options for that donor and say, well, what do you think about these ideas? And so I put it back on them. So then that way they feel good about that their money's going something towards something specific that they're passionate about, or their loved ones are passionate about, or that somehow has made an impact in their life. And so I want to empower the donor to give them that sort of control. Now, sometimes somebody says, hey, I'm really passionate about this. I only want to give money if you're going to do X, Y, and Z. And I tell them, you know, I'm sorry, that's not within our mission. And then I try to help them, you know, support another organization that I believe is doing it the right way.
Can you give me an example of that? Because it's hard to believe, but yes, it's true that sometimes and we see this with boosters at universities all the time. I mean, where people, their $1 million boosters are like, I want to give $1 million, but I want to have an elevator built so I don't have to walk these steps next time. And the university's like, sorry, we're not going to take your money because we're not building an elevator in this particular. Can you give me an example?
Yeah, so let's say somebody was passionate about the arts, and I'm just taking that. This is I'm having trouble just off the top of my head remembering a specific example. Yeah. But let's just say somebody was passionate about the arts, but also, and so I was coming along soliciting for a capital campaign, and they're like, "Well, do you do anything that's associated with the arts?" And we would have a conversation, and if I couldn't, then we would just have to agree that Jimmy Hill Mission is not a good fit for their donation. And here's the struggle that we have. You know, our budget's $6 million a year. And so, you know, you need as many $10,000 gifts as you can get. And so there's such a struggle. There's such a temptation to maybe misrepresent or embellish something that you're doing to try to make any sort of connection to that realm that they would be. And so I see nonprofit because they're like, I've got to make this money and here's a great opportunity. And so it forces you to really get on walking on the edge of an ethical line and all those things. And so I understand how people get there, the pressure that the board's demanding of them to raise money or their own passion about what they're doing. Hey, if we just have more money, we could really make a greater impact. But you just have to have the strength and the courage to stand up and say, I understand what you want to do. We are not the best organization for that. And so here, let me tell you who I would focus on if it were me and then make a recommendation. Now that kind of extends this conversation into two ways that I'll speak about. One is I'm very much a kingdom builder, which means I look at other, I don't want to operate in a silo. I love collaboration. I love if I think an organization is doing it right and I think their people are sincere and authentic and transparent and are motivated and are really helping clients, then I look at it as that's a win if I help that organization get money.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be jealous or upset if I send them a check for $10,000 because I still feel like it's an overall win. And that sometimes we get in these competitive modes where we're pitting our nonprofits against each other rather than looking at it from a bigger perspective, like clients are going to, people's lives are going to be bettered by this. I still was part of the process and helping that happen. It's not going to be through my agency, but the people that they're serving are going to get, going to be blessed by that. And I'm okay with that. I feel good about that. The other thing I was going to touch on is a little bit in the same vein is sometimes you'll have donors who come in and try to dictate or try to bully almost.
Yep.
With the money. So you've seen people threaten, let's say you have somebody who gives you $50,000 a year and then all of a sudden they, hey, if you don't do this, I'm not going to keep giving you. And there's this manipulation that takes place. And we had a guy that called up. This guy was a man of faith, really started questioning one of my staff and really started almost bullying him. And he gives us a check every year for $10,000. And I had to call him up and say, hey, you've made such an impact. Thank you so much. But I'm going to have to draw a line in the sand here and say, you know, I'm inviting you to go support another organization, because what you're bringing with the $10,000, the attitude, the bullying, the pestering.
That's going to cost you $100,000.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
You're going to have to pony
you wanna
up
add
a little
zero, then okay, you got to make it worth my while. But in all seriousness, I felt like I had to protect staff and I had to protect the mission. So I had to have the courage and strength to say, hey, you got to go somewhere else, because it's not worth that. And so, again, you have to draw those lines, or you're going to have the tail wagging the dog in your organization. And you don't want to be beholden to donors who will take you off mission and bring in mission creep, or hurt your staff, or demoralize your staff. And so you have to make those tough calls as well.
The show's flying by, and we'll have a few more minutes. And so I'm always thinking of the next week so we can continue this conversation. But, you know, giving back as a for-profit business, I'm 56 years old. I never saw it growing up. I worked for Kentucky Fried Chicken. We never did anything in the community. It was just a business, and we made money. Maybe there's some things going on. They were sending money off that I didn't know about, but we never did anything as a store. I worked for radio stations, and we did, you know, Habitat for Humanity situations and things like that. But, you know, I go to school every Sunday, and I'll always look at the Sunday Bulletin, and I always look at the sponsors and the advertisers on a Sunday Bulletin, because I know they're giving back. I know they're giving to Catholic Charities or OLV or whoever church I'm in that particular week. How important is it to be a business that gives back? I know when I worked for Cumulus, we had a deal with United Way, where you could actually give a portion of your check every week to United Way. And certainly in radio, the whole definition of radio is to be informative and to give back to community. So it was important that we did that. But how important is it to work for an organization that finds the importance in giving back not only to the community, maybe it's even a Little League baseball team, sponsoring a Little League baseball team at some level, giving back to the community? And how prevalent is that? It seems like I'm seeing it everywhere now. That's great.
Yeah, it's very important and from both perspectives. So the business, like you said, you sponsor a team, or you when we had our boutique, the local football team needed, you know, $100 advertisements. I didn't think I was going to get that $100 back, but I just wanted to show support. And it put our business out as, hey, we're just trying to help the school. We're trying to help the community. We're trying to be, and that's lots of times the message you send. You hope it brings in more business, but lots of times, you know, you can't always say, oh, I did this $1,000 ad in this magazine, and so I know that I'm getting it back. But it's part of, you want to be portrayed as somebody who is reaping benefits from the community, so I'm giving back to the community. I care about the community. And the vast majority, I've found very few business owners who are not willing to do that. Now, so here's the challenge. You have a business owner who may have money to invest, and so he's got 1,000 nonprofits to choose from. That's where an effective nonprofit leader can make all the difference in the world. And this is where I think my approach has always been, and I'll just put this out there and hope other people use it to be successful, is I don't go to somebody and say, I'd like you to support our work. What I try to do is create a win-win scenario for the business. So if we would like you, and so I'll give you an example. We would like you to support this work and whatever the specific thing may be. And as a thank you, you're not paying for your advertising or anything, but we have several thousand Facebook followers. We would like, as a thank you, to do to profile your business.
Nice.
And to talk about that you are a community partner, and not talk about your specific donation or the amount you give, but to talk about, here, you know, we would like you to go meet this company because they are a part of who we are. And we call them ministry partners. So it doesn't come across as an advertisement. It's just like, hey, we just want to highlight a ministry partner of ours, friends. Well, we love this family. We love this work. We love their business, and we support them. And And we just want you, if you support Jimmy Hale, we want you to know Jimmy Hale's successful because of business partners like that. And so what you're bringing them is you're not just bringing them a handout. You're saying, hey, I know you have to run a business. I know that you have 1,000 choices of where to send your money. I respect that. I value that. And so I want this to be a partnership, not just coming to you begging for you to support something that I'm passionate about. And here's what that partnership looks like. And we're going to serve your interest as well as you helping us. And I have found that businesses love that. One quick story. I know we're at the end.
You're right.
I had a lady, a business who sent a check every year for $5,000. So the normal routine would be, okay, we're going to do a race and we're trying to get the word out. So we're going to call all our business community who have already donated to us and say, hey, we'd like you to write us another check for, to sponsor the race. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't do that. So what we did was, and I don't know that anybody else I'd ever heard this. We just thought through it and said, let's try it. So I called that person and I said, you've been giving us $5,000 for years. And so we're going to do a race and we're going to make you a sponsor and put your logo on our shirt. But we don't want any more money. We're not asking you for more money. That is nothing but a thank you for just being a faithful supporter of ours. So some people would say, Michael, you missed out on an opportunity to bring in sponsorship money. However, 4 months later, when she gave her annual thing, she wrote us a check for $10,000.
Yes, sir. Yep.
So she said on the news, I mean, she said over the phone, she said, and you don't want a check. You're going to make me a sponsor, but you don't want anything from me. And we said, yes. And she said, I've never heard of that before.
That's awesome.
But we went to her saying, hey, this is a thank you. We want to highlight you and your business just because you've been so great to us. And it ultimately resulted in the same thing, which was more money, but it solidified the relationship. So now my feeling is she's never going to forget that. Mm-hmm. And she's going to stay with us. As long as that business is in operation, she's going to send us a donation every year.
That's great. And I love that. And certainly at a different level, I did something for my church. They had a race out at Altadena, and they asked me to set up my sound equipment and just do the voiceover stuff. And I said, sure, I'd be more than happy to do it. It was a 6:30 on a Sunday morning. And in turn, they put my logo on their T-shirt. And I didn't ask for that, but I'll never forget
right,
that.
Right.
And my T-shirt went out to 1,000 of their runners, and it was the biggest logo on the back of that shirt, and I loved it. Michael, I love your passion, man. I just love talking to you every single week. We'll do it again next week. Again, support the Jimmy Hale Mission, and we'll talk about non-for-profits Mission Mind right here on Tony Curry Radio. Have a peaceful week, and we'll talk next week, okay?
Sounds great.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.